God did.
Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Z is back, y'all. Z found some time. He carved out some time in his busy Victoria Island schedule. Buttons undone, coconut and rum. Listen to some nice Afro beats in the heat. I hope you enjoy this. Today, as I think I shared the other episode, we're going to be sharing our curiosities about this Toronto Raptors team. The beauty of Z and I is that so often we are unscripted. And so there is some ramblings, but quantity sometimes gets you to quality. You know, sometimes you got to keep digging to find the jewels, and that's what we do. But because we rambled separately in these recordings that you're going to hear, they're very different, which is great. You know, when you have a co-host who's looking, when you have a friend, a fan who's looking at the game very differently, you can just record unscripted and go, and you come out with two very different perspectives on this team. And I just love it. So I hope that you enjoy these curiosities of ours. Mine will probably be less organized in terms of presentation. Mine will have much more rambling likely than Zaya's kind of methodical pace. I think I rev him up because when he does recordings on his own, this man is like doing a stately speech. When he's with me, when we're going back and forth, it's a whole other thing. But he's brilliant in both situations. Anyways, what you're about to listen to is first Zaya's curiosities about the season, and then you'll listen to mine, and that will be it. As Zaya said, will say in his recording, I will say now and up front, may there be peace in the Middle East. May there be peace for the Palestinian and Israeli people. And I hope we're all hoping and praying for that to happen. All right. Here's the recording of Zaya and I separately sharing our curiosities about this Toronto Raptors team. Peace.
This is Zaya reporting from Lagos, Nigeria. The question that was presented to me to answer was, what is one thing that I am curious about for the Toronto Raptors 2023-2024 season? And I had a couple of days to mull over it, and it has to be he has to start with Darko. I'm going to have to be honest here. There's a few things about him as a head coach that I'm going to look forward to seeing how it unfolds and how he really self-actualizes himself, and also his long tradition as a, you know, Serbian basketball, prodigy, if that's what I want to call it, not as a player, but as a coach. I think he has an incredible mind, and I'm looking forward to how he unlocks a few players on the roster in different degrees. One of them being Scotty Barnes, another of them being Pascal Siakam, and another is Malachi Flynn, of all players. And I'll say why. I think Scotty Barnes has, you know, been touted, I think a lot of this comes from himself, as a point guard. And so the ball's going to be in his hands a lot more this season. That's been part of the narrative that's been being pushed all summer, especially since the release of Nick Nurse. Pascal, by default, has been this point forward. He's been the main creator. He has been, I think, managing a lot of the offensive load post Kawhi Leonard, to be quite honest. I really feel like he has been the go-to guy, and I think he's delivered on that. That said, I still believe that there's areas of growth in his game, and I think that is, you know, that's not a surprise to anyone. And then thirdly, is a point guard that's been in the doghouse, in Nick Nurse's doghouse at least, for the last several years. Some people would say that he's a bust. He's still on his rookie contract. This is the last year of it, and there's a lot of pressure for him to realize something close to his potential. And that's Malachi Flynn. I mean, I think there's also, I mean, people are also familiar with his father, who has criticized Nick Nurse openly on social media, and has been quite vocal in, you know, defending his son. Nevertheless, I think I'm interested to see, with a new coach, not just new voice, but really someone who can potentially kind of guide him through his own identity as an NBA player, as a point guard in a new system. I'm fascinated by that. Okay, let's break it down in more detail. So for Darko, what system will he? What are elements of that he will inherit from Nick Nurse? Usually, whenever one takes over, it's not a complete 180. It usually you take elements from an old system to help with the transition. And with time, you implement your own functions and your own teaching and so on and so forth. Some can do it right at the beginning, but to be quite honest, how many months have they been practicing or with Darko? I doubt that it's been long enough. And to be quite honest, it takes time to unlearn and to relearn new tactics, new schemes. So I haven't seen any of the NBA preseason games, to be quite honest, but I've read a couple of reviews about what they've been doing defensively, and so they're less aggressive. That's one thing. They're actually covering the corner three. So And offensively, you can see that they're moving the ball a lot. I mean, that sounds so generic. But one thing for sure is that the offensive flow, the offensive look is going to take some time to evolve. One, there's still a deficit in terms of three-point shooting. I think they're... points per possession is still below what it should be in terms of league average, and or even if you want to be part of the upper echelon of NBA teams, I think offensively the Raptors are still below that. So and I think they've only played three games this far, preseason game, so it's not enough of a case for me to suggest that the quote unquote offense it has been rejuvenated. I think it's going to take a little bit more time. So I'm curious, what does the offense look like as he, as Scotty Barnes takes the reign, right? As he increases his usage, as his imagination continues to be unlocked, what role is his shooting going to play, which has always had a question mark for me. But most of all, I think it's also the intangibles. I don't think he, there was a personality fit with Nick Nurse. And so I'm curious to know how Darko installs a little bit more confidence in him, right? I also think they weren't as compliment, Fred and Scotty weren't as complimentary, players. And it has less to do on the court. I think it was also off the court. I think there is a generational gap. I think Fred is an incredibly mature man, and came from a different passage than Scotty Barnes. And I think that has developed a particular type of perspective on leadership, on coming up, and I don't think that Scotty, quote unquote, enjoyed himself. And I think what I've heard in some of the, training camp, rhetoric, there's this sense of enjoyment more, he's a young man. I get it. Fred was all about business. Maybe that's the persona that he came off as. I resonated with that. I had no issues. But and this is not just for Scotty. This is for a league that's really struggled with the new wave of youth of, 18, 19-year-olds coming into the league at such a tender age. We call them young men, but they are, and with emphasis on young, there's an adjustment. There's a cultural adjustment to this business world, beyond just sports, that that is a challenge. And it's a challenge not just for them, but it's also a challenge for some of the older veterans who are in the league, who are seeing the salary cap increase. They're seeing these young players come in, these young athletes coming in through some of the AAU college circuits, receiving endorsements immediately, these inflated contracts. And I'm not saying there's an element of jealousy. I'm suggesting that often the case is that they're being invested in on potential and not on based on what they have done, and that has been a significant, and that can cause some tension, some dynamic. I mean, I have to deal with office politics where I am right now. I'm not going to name any names, but it's ridiculous. And there's a hierarchy based on who's making what, who has access to management, who doesn't, who gets media attention and who doesn't, who's invited to different types of events, who's being featured by the NBA. And so I can understand that there's that tension. Now, mind you, I think Fred and Scotty have been professional all the way through. But you can tell, I've watched basketball long enough that I don't need to go on Twitter and read the rumor circuit. I don't need to, ask a couple of, ball boys to know what happens in the locker room. I just know that there was a few things that were just off, and that's my working theory, that there is this gap in trust between these two leaders of the team, regardless of whether someone didn't think that Scotty was a leader. I actually thought he was last year, but I also think that they didn't compliment one another. Again, compliment one another. I didn't say they didn't respect one another or that there was beef. I just said that they didn't compliment one another. And so I'm look, and unfortunately, Nick Nurse just wasn't able to find, you know, navigate that wedge. And I actually think Darko is able to be the, you know, maybe Scotty whisperer, to make him, to revive the sense of joy. I think that was something that was mentioned, you know, several times by the writers in the past year that, you know, he kind of lost his joy. And so unlocking him offensively and also defensively, like, let's not waste time. This guy's physically, he's just incredibly talented and gifted with just physical, just being a physical specimen and with ability and with smarts. So I look forward to his defensive prowess really coming loose. Secondly is Pascal. You know, Pascal, if we crunch the numbers, he's what, top 15 in the league. Last year, you know, he really wanted to be part of a NBA discussion. An NBA MVP discussion. I thought that was, you know, it was a bit premature. However, statistically, especially at that earlier part of the season, he was backing it up. His game was backing up his talk. It was quite incredible to see what he was doing as a threat offensively. And I think with less of a defensive style that requires a level of aggression, and with Jakob Poeltl holding down the fort in the paint now for a full season, I'm looking forward to Pascal having a little bit more, you know, durability on offense. He's an incredible defensive player, especially as a help defender. It's scary how he's talented. And so if you rebalance how much energy he's issuing and how much and more emphasis offensively that he's able to maintain without holding the ball, meaning running a lot of schemes off ball. I'm curious what that unlocks for him. Can he make another leap in his game? I actually think he can. I think he's continuously evolving. He's a learner. He's bright. In terms of basketball intellect, it's really up there. He's also incredibly diligent. So I won't put it past him. What that actually looks like numerically, I don't really know. Because I'm looking forward to a lot more players on this roster to also increase their usage. So I think he'll be more efficient. I think his playmaking will improve. I think I'm hoping his turnovers will decrease. And I'm fingers crossed, you know, Raptors make it to the play-in. He'll have more energy and capacity by the end of the season. I felt like the last several seasons, he's lost a lot more gas in the tank. The word I'm looking for is he's worn down. There we go. And I think that's, you know, there's been critique about, he just doesn't have what it takes to finish a game. And I'm like, no, you have no clue what you're talking about. A lot of it is fatigue, like both physically and mentally. And there's a level, and there's elements of predictability in his offense because he's still growing as an offensive player, as a number one. And so by the fourth quarter or by the end of the season, defensive schemes were able to disrupt a lot of what he was able to do. It was frustrating on one end that as a coaching staff, there wasn't anything implemented to provide some diversity to the offensive schemes. Nevertheless, I'm looking for him to grow and to take a leap in that regard. And also in terms of intangibles, just for him to be much more of a leader. You know, again, this is a season sans Fred, and therefore it's going to put a lot more pressure for the only remaining player from that championship run. Actually, there's three of them. There's OG, Chris Boucher, and Pascal. But you know, we all know what Pascal did during that championship run. So I really want, you know, he's the lone remainder of that championship roster, and the responsibility is put on him to really deliver, and I think he's up for that challenge. So I'm looking forward to what Darko can formulaically put together and make him even top 10. That's a tall demand, but should I underestimate Pascal? I don't think so, to be quite honest. I for someone with his journey and biography, no. But more importantly, beyond rankings, you know, I want him to be healthy and I want him to continue to evolve as a player and as a leader. And so, and I think Darko can pull that off. And last but not least, Malachi Flynn. You know, I think we've taken jabs, myself included. My hand is up. I'm guilty. But one thing that I, you know, being someone who adores the point guard position, I want players to excel, especially young players. And I know it's incredibly difficult. First of all, being not getting into the NBA, but staying in the NBA, and being put in the predicament of vulnerability, of knowing that you haven't proven yourself yet, is challenging, especially on the last year of your contract. And precarious work exists even in the NBA, even amongst the elites. So we're not suggesting that you cry a river for Malachi. He'll definitely find his way somewhere in the professional basketball landscape. But because we drafted him, you know, the front office invested in him, believing that he can become another point guard that we have grown in the Raptors fold. I think, you know, Nick Nurse, that was a miss, you know, with the coaching staff. Nick Nurse didn't invest in player development as much as we thought he would, especially since we had heard, you know, stories of him spending time with Jonas Valanciunas and Pascal Siakam. And lo and behold, you know, for someone like Malachi Flynn, there's a ceiling. And so it brings me back. I've been thinking about this for maybe for the last several weeks. Is random. We're going to go into Raptors history here. Is Alvin Williams. If you go back, Alvin Williams, when he was playing under the tutelage of Butch Carter, it was disastrous. You can tell that Alvin Williams was overly pensive when he was on the court. He came in on the Damon Stoudemire trade from the Portland Trailblazers and just was really a point guard with a lack of confidence. I really thought that we wouldn't see much of him after one season under Butch Carter. I remember, you know, one turnover that he caused against the Washington Wizards, Butch took him out immediately. And it was, I remember that. I remember coming up as a player myself and playing under these types of coaches, and you're under that type of pressure, you're not giving a liberty to make mistakes, you know, even a margin of mistakes. Obviously, the rope is shorter for him than it, and the, or the leash is shorter for him than, say, you know, the Vince Carters or the Tracy McGrady's at that time. And so, but for him, I felt, you know, this is the only way for him to learn, is actually, especially playing the point guard position, is to make mistakes. And we're not saying, we're not talking about Ricky Davis mistakes. We're not talking about off the court mistakes. We're talking about, you know, tactical mistakes on the court, okay? Running the offense. That's what we're talking about. But then Lenny Wilkins came over and took over for Butch Carter. And lo and behold, Alvin Williams becomes a fixed NBA starter. One, leads the Toronto Raptors not only to the NBA, joined in a backcourt with Vince Carter, but is also leads the Toronto Raptors past the New York Knicks, which feels good. I was going to say something off course, but I will not say it out loud. Beating the New York Knicks, that felt great, but also playing clutch minutes and delivering. And as you know, as his tenure with the Toronto Raptors ended, you know, he's become a stalwart, right? You know, he's now working on the broadcasting team. I think he's still on the team for Sportsnet this coming season. We you know, Alvin Williams, you know, in the halls is like a, you know, it's like a Hall of Fame. He came into his own, not just developed, but came into his own in the Toronto Raptors, with a coach that understood that there's a different type of approach to channel, to really bring out the very best in a player, especially, for a point guard. The point guard is not like any other position, and the brain of a point guard doesn't work the same as everyone else. That's why everyone wants to be a point guard, to be quite honest, because there's something special about it. It's not like any other position. That's why I think he's an aberration. Jokic is an aberration because he's a point center. And I don't, and that's hard to find. You know, it's like a unicorn. That's truly a unicorn. It's not Porzingis. It's the Jokic's of the world. If that's the position, to bring up a point guard, to raise a point guard, to develop a point guard, to teach a point guard, requires a level of sophistication, and I don't think Nick Nurse had that. He's a good coach deserving the accolades, but now as it relates to being a point guard's coach, that's something different, and that's what I'm curious about with Darko. Can Darko unleash those elements of playmaking for Malachi Flynn? If Malachi Flynn moves on from the Toronto Raptors, after this year, at least he got a taste of what Darko can offer, right? In terms of providing him, equipping him with the necessary intangibles, beyond just minutes, which I think he's going to get. And I've seen at least some footage during the preseason that he's been part of the rotation. But for him to gain that opportunity to really self-actualize as a point guard. So those are the three players that I'm curious Darko to have to work his magic on. And we'll see if the potion is real. We'll see if the hype is real. I'm wishing these guys all the best as they start the new season. Yeah, so anyway, that's Zaya. Hope everyone is doing well. all things considered, my heart goes out to the people in the region of Israel and the Palestinian territories. It's really heartbreaking to see what the events are, and to kind of talk about basketball sounds meaningless, but sometimes it balances out, knowing full well that the fan base represents these two respective peoples. Journalists that I'm following represents these two peoples, and so really thoughts and prayers are with respective communities and families. And I don't say that faintly or performatively either. For someone who's visited that region and who's walked the streets of both West and East Jerusalem, for someone who spent time in Ramallah, for someone who spent time in Tel Aviv, and for me having to also call in a friend who had to be evacuated out of Tel Aviv, and to ensure that he was safe, was tough emotionally, to be quite honest. Another fellow Raptors fan, we grew up on the same side of Toronto. And so, I hope that we be, if you need to donate to respective organizations, do so. If you need to read up a little bit more about the history in order for you to have a better or to be better informed, please do so. But be gracious to, especially to the people that who are going through this. I wholeheartedly, because they've been going through it for a while. It's not new. And so, and be gracious to yourself, because these types of conflicts have an effect on us in more ways than one. And so, and with that said, I'm wishing you well. Peace.
Things that make you go, a classic CNC factory, music factory song back from the late 80s, early 90s. That's what's playing in my head when I think about all the curiosity that this Toronto Raptors roster, franchise, front office, coaching staff holds. So many questions, possibilities. I'm going to try to stick to three things. Might expand into four, but I'm going to try to stick to three things that I'm curious about. The first thing I'm curious about is, what does a full season look like with Jakob Poeltl and Christian Koloko? If you go back to the 2021 season when we went to Tampa, something was missing. We were begging Masai, even before the season started, not just to bring the team to Toronto, although that was going to be extremely difficult with the pandemic still very much in full effect. But we wanted a center. We got Aaron Bain and we got Alex Len. Two horrible picks for us overall. Aaron Bain or Alex Len could be a third string center, although the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, would argue that he's a very serviceable regular season bench center. I would say no. He's not overly skilled. He is tall. He is long, but he doesn't help you. But ever since that season, we've been scratching our heads about who's going to play the center spot. And even entering last season, we were without a bona fide center because Christian Koloko is in his rookie year. You can't ask a rookie who is still quite narrow to be able to navigate his way through the league, his first year in the league, that quickly. And yet, he was still a really good defender. you look at his numbers last year, you could see why the Raptors picked him up and how effective he could be over time. But he was still green. And so I'm curious about what this season might look with Christian Koloko and Jakob Poeltl for 70, 75 games, if we're lucky, to anchor both the starting unit and that bench mob. Jakob Poeltl is not a super athletic guy, but his size and smarts impact the team on the defensive end in a huge way. Now, obviously, both guys can give verticality to the offense. Jakob Poeltl is a great passer and screener. But I think defensively is where these two guys were most curious. You remember last year how much energy we put out defensively in this high-risk, high-reward defense. The problem was we could get big leads and then we could throw them away. We could get blown out and then we could have fake comebacks. And so for me, my number one curious thing about the roster is these two guys. Now, Christian Koloko's health is still a factor. He's had a respiratory issue that has kind of stayed with him throughout the summer and now into the fall. He's missed all of the preseason games. I believe he won't be in the lineup tonight, although Jakob Poeltl, I think, is after an illness. But I'm, you know, obviously I'm not going to try and speculate what is wrong with Christian Koloko's lungs. Apparently it's a temporary thing, so that's good. But it'll be interesting if we can get both of them healthy, you know, how much easier life becomes. We don't have to overplay. We don't have to try to just, you know, get steals and just get deflections. We can actually make good defensive stops. And when you have that safety net behind you, that security blanket in the big, then it makes it more difficult for guys who drive, but it also makes it more difficult for shooters, spot-up shooters, because you're not coming to double-team somewhere on the floor every time. And the NBA has so many teams with great passers that, you know, that kind of defense that we are playing could be effective in the regular season, but teams catch up to you, which they did last year. So first thing, curious about having two centers play a full season. Number two on my curiosities. Number two, and it's another tandem, but this time playing together. My curiosity is the combo in the backcourt of the second unit, Malachi Flynn and Gary Trent Jr. Now let's go back again to that Tampa season. There were few bright spots in that Tampa season. It was not just a hard watch. It was almost like somebody possessed, like a demon possessed our Raptors. Literally they were stolen from Toronto because of the pandemic. But then they just didn't have that spirit. And when you take two centers away, like Gasol and Serge, who had so much character and charisma, you know, the chemistry and the vibes of this team were down as well. But there were bright spots in that year. If you remember the last 25 games of that Tampa season, Pascal Siakam was incredible. And you got a picture, a window into the future of Pascal Siakam, which we've been seeing for the last 2 years, an increased ability to play make, an increased ability to navigate screens and small spaces with the dribble, an increased ability to make the mid-range, to have confidence to take the mid-range. And Pascal was beginning to show that all-NBA game at a very in a very different way than what he did in the 2020 season. So that was a bright spot. The other bright spot in that Tampa season was in the last 25 games, Gary Trent Jr. and Malachi Flynn played together. They had a few games where they took over offensively, the two of them. I think there was a game in Cleveland where they both had career highs. There were games that Gary Trent hit big-time buckets at the end of a game. Malachi finally had more time. He had more trust from his coach because – why not? You the season's over. You're not going to the playoffs. Allow this guy to develop. And when he got that opportunity, he showed that he's a great pick and roll point guard. He did a lot of that with Ken Birch. Did a little bit of that more of a from a pick and pop perspective with Chris Boucher, who also had a good last 25 games of that season. But we saw something from Malachi Flynn that was really great. Some flashes there. The problem was in 2022, all that opportunity got taken away. Goran Dragic came to the team and we thought he would be the second guard behind Fred. He wasn't. He didn't even want to be with Toronto. But Malachi then, you know, would get these one-off opportunities. And man, oh man, it was a very unforgiving perspective or a very unforgiving coaching style toward Malachi Flynn. And so now that Darko has come in, there's a new coaching staff, there's an emphasis on development of the players. I'm curious, can there be that synergy brought back between Gary and Malachi? Now, they don't do a lot of two-man actions, but what you're seeing is that Darko wants that those two guys to lead the second unit in the offensive end. We've seen Gary's playmaking take huge leaps, even in the preseason. His passing, his movement, his vision has all been really, really good so far. Sure, there's turnovers, but he's making things happen. He's had more assists in these first three games than probably any 10 games combined last season. For Malachi Flynn, there's more time. His playmaking looks decent. His shooting will come, I believe. But he's getting the minutes and the reps. And I'm curious, as that goes on, will something click? And if you build that synergy with somebody, you have the length behind you on the defensive end. You don't have to run with your head cut off like Gary has had to the last 2 years. And then you can kind of settle in to playing straight up D, or you go zone and you've got Precious, Jalen McDaniels, Koloko, Chris Boucher, just to name a few who are behind you to protect the rim, to give you that extra length, to give the safety that you need. So who knows how it will all pan out, but I'm very curious about that tandem in the second unit and if they can rekindle something as a duo. And if there's extra strides that we're going to see from both of them individually this season, it would be great for Malachi's career arc if he took a real leap this year. And we could say confidently that we have a backup point guard, and now we have a backup point guard going forward. We'll see. The third thing that I'm curious about is about our foundation, our culture, our identity. It's been talked about a lot, and there has been a lot of talk about, do we have a direction? And certainly there's still a lot of questions around that. There's no extension so far for Pascal, Gary, or OG. And there's, you know, still this kind of limbo land that we're in with who the leader is, who's really locked in and committed. It seems like Gary and Pascal are. Not sure about OG, but, you know, obviously if he wants to stay and we're able to get a deal done, that's exciting. But maybe you've got to show that identity. Maybe you have to show that the culture's solidified through the coaching. And it doesn't just start and end with Darko. There's also Jama, who's part of that coaching group. And he's going to be really significant. His voice, his mind are going to be really significant. But we need culture and identity so we can have the chemistry. And if the chemistry's there and builds, you're going to communicate much better as well. Something that we saw break down last year in games, in the media, on social media. It was not a fun watch last year in many games, but it wasn't fun at all to hear press conferences, to read from journalists about kind of some of the dissension that was happening between the team, even in the off season and the press conference leading into this season. That still reared its ugly head, talking about the vibes, the disconnection, the divides that existed last year. So my curiosity is, can that identity, culture, foundation, can that solidify? And if it does, to me, the possibility is, you know, a 7 to 10 more wins. I'm not saying that's guaranteed. You know, I've predicted that the team's going to win 44, 45 games. I'll land at 45. But there is that potential to go from 41 to 48 or 41 to 50 if the chemistry's there, if the communication's there. Because that culture, that foundation begins to build a belief. And as we've talked about, as many others have talked about, talent-wise, there's oodles of it. And with a young team, yes, the Raptors are a young team. If you've got those other elements, you can build something special. You saw it in Cleveland last year. You saw it in New York last year. Young teams finding culture around their coaching staff, around their leaders, and then going forward. Now in the playoffs, experience and having the best player and best duo won out. And of course, those two teams got eliminated because they went up against better individual players and more experience. So we will see what happens. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself, but I'm very curious just how good a Raptor whisperer Darko can be. But how trust can be built within the players as well. And if they can find that identity, I think this could be a really special year. Could be interesting. Could be have similar vibes to that 2022 season, but obviously in a different way. All right, y'all. I'm going to stop there. Be curious about your curiosities. Hope you can share them. But for now, peace. I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your passion. I'm the artist. So me and my artist. That's it.